love this morning is what I want to talk to you about. Returning to our first love, Revelations 2, verse 4 and 5, he said, "Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken your first love. Remember the height from which you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first." Hallelujah. "If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place." Notice what he says. He says, we need to what? Remember the height from where we have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. That's what I want to talk about. I believe the church has lost sight of some of the important spiritual and kingdom fundamentals that has changed both the influence of the church and the manner in which the church conducts herself. She's lost her way, and I believe in these four ways. She's lost because she has forgot her mission, her message, her means, and her master. And I want to look at those four things real quickly today. First, she has forgotten her mission. Turn to Matthew 28. You know, it's easy, and I know from being a pastor and being in ministry now 28 years, that it's easy for us, all the stuff on the fringes to come in, and all of a sudden the margins begin to be the most important thing. All the methodologies and all the admin and all the stuff that comes with it. And the next thing you know, we lose sight of what really is essential, what really is important. And I believe these four things are things that we need to look at if we're going to return to our first love in Jesus. Because all the other things may be fine and have their place, but I don't believe that there is anything that's more important than us remembering and pursuing with all of our heart, with all of our strength, with all of our resources, the four things we're going to talk about today. And the first one is, we got to remember our mission. Matthew 28:16, "Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the end of the age.'" So the first thing that he's called us to do is what? Is to remember our mission is to do what? Is to go into all the world. Amen? Is to go. Is to go. I think what has happened in the church is that we have become more inward focused than outward focused. Amen? We're all consumed about fixing ourselves up to the place to where we think we've finally arrived, we're finally perfect, every need in my life is met, I don't have a care, I don't have a fear, I'm free from everything that has to do with this world. Now when I finally get that way, Lord, we'll go. By that time, we'll all be dead. Amen. You ever studied? You ought to look at the 12 apostles sometime, the 12 disciples. Look at them. These are the people that were mentored by Jesus. Boy, that's a pretty good mentor to have, I'd say, wouldn't you? I'd say he was number one, wouldn't you? And these 12 men who were mentored by Jesus, yet we noticed during this process, they were still squabbling about position. Jesus, we want to see, you know, we want to get that special position where our office is right next to yours. Come on. They even got their mother involved in it. Oh, Lord. I mean, they got their mama to come to Jesus. "Now, Jesus, I want you to promise me that you're going to give my boy a special preferred position to sit at your right hand." Come on. And then the other 10, to show how spiritual they were, they got all indignant at the other two. And I said, it's probably because they wish they'd have thought of that first. Come on. What I'm trying to say is, these men were not perfect. The 12 were not perfect. They haven't arrived just perfectly. I mean, think about it. After the resurrection, Jesus telling them all this time, "Listen, I'm going to die. I'm going to be raised up on the third day." I mean, you know, even when you read here, It says they worshiped, but some doubted. My goodness. The apostles who wrote the word, some doubted. They hadn't arrived, but Jesus said, you know what? He said, you're going to receive a power that is greater than your humanity. It's going to be greater than your weaknesses. It's going to be greater than your failings. And in this power, you go forth.
Come on.
And you know what? That's the same thing's true for us. We're so obsessed. And I think, personally, I think this is coming from our culture. You know, we've got a culture that's influenced so much by Hollywood. And, you know, you think about it. In Hollywood, they are absolutely just self-obsessed with, you know, trying to look perfect, getting the perfect body, always looking the perfect size, the, you know, getting the facelifts, getting the tummy, all this stuff, you know, because they've got to maintain this image of outward perfection. Oh, yeah. You know, all the women have got to look like Barbie. All the men have got to look like Ken. Come on. And if there's anything less than that, we're made to feel like there's something wrong with us. We don't measure up. We haven't quite arrived yet. We've got to look like, you know, whatever. Name your favorite if you have one, star. You know, we got to look like them. That's a bunch of hogwash.
Amen.
The Bible says God's not looking on the outward. He's looking what? On the inward. And so we've got to get out of this being so self-absorbed with getting every little jot and tittle of our life exactly perfected to the degree that we think whoever it is that sets the standard said we should be perfected before we can do anything for God. That's a lie.
Amen.
I said that's a lie. God will use you right where you're at,
yeah.
Warts and all. Do we want to grow? Yes. But in the meantime, while we're growing and becoming that, we can be used by God to fulfill the mission. We should not be so self-absorbed that we cannot look around and see that there are people that are hurting and dying and on their way to hell. Yeah, I said it, hell. Hell is real. Amen? Jesus said it was. And he said it's a place you want to avoid. It's a place you don't want to go. And I want to tell you what, you don't want anybody else to go there either. So we need to remember, he said, repent and turn to your first love. What's our first love? Our first love is not ourselves, but rather others. We're so caught up with ourselves. Well, I don't have this yet, and I don't have that yet, and God hadn't done this for me, and I'm mad at God. You know, sometimes God help me, but you know, I just want to, you know, give you a piece of my mind. And it's probably not a piece you need and want anyway, but I feel like it sometimes. Listen, let's get over it. Let's get out there. And don't let the world change. Well, I'll tell you what, you're not this and you're not that. I know it. That's the whole thing, a message I'm telling you about. It's a message of grace. It's not a message of works. It's not a message of I've arrived. It's a message that Jesus came, Jesus died, he shed his blood for your sins, and whoever calls on the name of the Lord, they'll be saved by grace, not by works. Mission. What is our mission? Listen. A lot of times, instead of teaching about the crucifixion of the flesh and denying of self, you know what we've done? We've got all this self-help stuff coming into the church. Self-help groups and this group and that group and all. You know what? The basis of that is in psychology. It's not in biblical theology. It's in psychology.
Come on, preach this.
We're going to dig and dig and dig and meet and dig and dig and dig and dig and meet and dig and dig until we finally get down to what really is bothering you. That's psychology. Show me where Jesus did that. Show me where the apostles did that. Where they set up, you know, and came in and they prayed with you and counseled with you weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks and months and years and weeks and months and years and years and weeks and months. And, you know, and about the time you're ready to die, they said, hey, you've arrived, and you expire. Turn over to Titus. Let's look at the word. What does the word say? Doesn't matter what this preacher says. What does the word say? Titus, listen to this. Titus 2:11. 2:11. For the grace of God, what are we talking about? The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us. What is the it? Grace. Grace teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age. Just say no. Oh, but I want, I got to meet, somebody's got to pray and get down to the root of this thing that's making me do this. He said you should just learn what grace is teaching you, and that is say no to ungodly passions. And begin to live a self-controlled life. Isn't that what the Word says? He didn't say anything here about, you know, well, when you get all 10 of them devils cast out of you, you know, and you get canceled and we get to the root of where somebody did something to you when you was a little bitty child and we get all that straightened out and we get you straightened out. No, notice what he said. He said it teaches us, the grace of God teaches us to say no to ungodliness. I got a word for you if you're struggling with sin. Say no. That's, hey, listen, I want to help you out here. Grace teaches us this. When we say no to ungodliness, grace is there to give us strength. But when we yield to it, what's grace got to do? Nothing. Grace ain't going to help you sin. I said grace ain't going to help you sin. I better say that again. Grace is not going to help you sin. Grace will help you say no to sin, but you got to say no. What was it? I think it was it Nancy Reagan with the drug thing back in the 80s? She come up with the slogan, just say no. Shazam. That's biblical, isn't it? But see, when we say no, what does that mean? That means then grace going to rise up on the inside of you. Grace rises up on the inside of you. You don't need something cast out. You need something to rise up within you. The greater one, the grace of God's in there. But you've got to learn to say no. No, devil. No, I'm not going to talk about that person. No, I'm not going to slander that person. No, I'm not going to steal that money. No, I'm not going to tell that lie. Ooh, returning to our first love, amen? Absolutely. Then grace has got something to work with. As many times as you say no to sin and to all the things of the flesh that are wrong, then I'm going to tell you what, grace goes to work. Grace goes to work in you. The strength and the power of grace goes to work. And you know what? You say no long enough, you know pretty soon that thing won't even be a temptation anymore. Amen? Our mission, what, is to take the gospel. I found out this. The enemy loves to preoccupy us, either with him or with ourselves. Come on. The reason a lot of Christians don't have any joy or peace or happiness. They're so preoccupied with everything that's wrong in their life. They can't see one good thing in their life. God hadn't done anything for you. Bless your heart. Come on. We're all caught up in it. Oh, this is wrong and that's wrong. And I wish I was this and I wish I was that. And I wish my husband would straighten up. And I wish my wife would do this. And listen, why don't you get focused on God? Why don't you get focused on what God's called you to do? What is the mission? What is the mission of God? Listen, God's mission, okay, in you will be accomplished by grace. Are you listening? Yeah. Not by you being preoccupied with it to the degree that you're trying to do your very best to try to figure out how I can get all my ducks in a row. While you're figuring out how to get your ducks in a row, there are people going to hell. Thank you for your enthusiasm. The second thing after our mission, listen, that was the last thing Jesus said before he went to heaven. You'd think that's pretty important, wouldn't you? The last thing he said before he went to heaven. He said, go into all the world. He didn't tell them, look now, Peter, don't be cutting off anybody's ears with the sword. You know, don't you people, you know, John, you sons of thunder, y'all don't be getting mad at people. He didn't say any of that. He said, here's what I want you to do. He said, this is your mission. Take this message, take this gospel, and you tell it to all the world. Amen? That's the starting place. The second thing is the message. Turn to Luke 4. Listen, nothing is more important. Not you being blessed, not you overcoming, not you. Nothing can be put above the mission. All this other stuff is fine, it has its place. But listen, the mission is the most important thing. The mission is the most important thing. How many of you know we're in an army, the army of the Lord? We're called soldiers, aren't we? You know, when a soldier is in the army and he's, whether he's with, you know, in a platoon or a squad or whatever he's in, and they're given a mission. And they say, you know, you got to blow up this bridge, or you got to take, this gun site or whatever it is, or you're going to take this town. You know what every soldier understands when he gets that mission? That the mission is more important than any one of them. Am I right? Y'all looking at me like a cow at a new gate. Isn't that right? The mission means that the mission is more important than I am. Because if all these soldiers are given orders and given a mission, and yet they all feel like that they're extremely more valuable than the mission, guess what? The first time it comes to laying their life down or putting themselves in danger, guess what they're not going to do? And we have gotten this idea in the church that I am of such supreme value that God couldn't possibly ask me to sacrifice anything. Come on. Oh, it's all about me, Jesus. I mean, no, it's all about the mission. Yes, God wants to bless you. You guys know, if you've been coming here, you know. But listen, it's not more important than the mission. I'd rather accomplish the mission than be blessed. Are you listening? I'd rather accomplish the mission than everybody look and say, wow, look at that man. It's about the mission. Now, how are we going to accomplish the mission? I'm glad you asked that. It's the message. It's the message. We don't have to do it in the strength of the flesh. We don't have to do it in the wisdom of man. We do it. God's given us a message. Listen. Luke 4:18. Jesus is preaching. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is on me. He's on you too. Because he has anointed me. Why? To get goosebumps? To feel a thrill? He's anointed me so I can fall out on the floor. He's anointed me because I can go back and say, boy, what a service we had again. No. All that's fine. I'm not against any of that. But I want to tell you what. See, that has become important because we have become the most important thing. And if I'm tell you what, I'm going to go there. But if Pastor Norris, man, if he can't give me the thrill like I had back in 1987, that's it. God help you. I am. He's on me. Why? Because he's anointed me to do what? To preach. Say, I'm anointed to preach. The first reason you're anointed is to preach. The first reason the Holy Ghost came upon you is for what? So that you could preach. You're anointed to preach. Amen. Say, I'm anointed to preach. Then the next question you have to ask yourself, not out loud, but am I doing that? Well, Pastor, I just wish the anointing would flow on me. Well, get out there and preach. You start preaching, the anointing will flow. You say no, grace will start to come. See, we want God to just knock us out and have, 14 visions. And then, if it's a big enough goosebump, I might preach. No, he said, you're anointed to preach. Good news. Preach good news to the poor. Oh, here it is. He sent me what? To preach and proclaim freedom for the prisoners. To the recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. That's the year of Jubilee or the year of freedom. So here's the message. He said, I've given you a mission. Now here are how you're going to accomplish the mission. You're going to you're anointed by me with this message, and by preaching this message, you will accomplish the mission. He didn't say, boy, I'm going to tell you what, if you get all your ducks in a row, if you get it organized just right, if you got all the right methodologies, if you do all this stuff, that may have its place, but I'm going to tell you what, that's not what he told us. He said, you've got a message. Take this message. You're anointed to preach it. If you preach this message, then you will accomplish my mission. So what are we sharing with people? Oh, well, I don't want to offend anybody. Then bless God, I'm going to tell you what. You never will preach. I said, you never will preach. Amen? Listen, when I was a sinner, Man, every message of the gospel shared to me offended me. Man, I get the guy that shared with me, I get up in his face. I said, buddy, you about to get it. He knew I meant it too because he used to be the dope dealer I bought my drugs from. But you know, here's the thing. It's going to offend some people.
Right.
Not everybody's going to like it. Where is it written in the Bible? Jesus said, go into all the world and get everybody to like you. Where is that written at? Go into all the world and be lovable. Where is that written at? Go into all the world, but don't offend anybody. Where's that written at? Yet we have bought into that thing, and it has kept us from fulfilling the mission. Jesus said, you better turn to your friend. You know what it is? Oh, boy. You say, I didn't come for this. Yes, you did. You know what it is? Remember we read in Revelation, he said, return to your first love. See, we have started loving something else more than him. I want people to like me. But listen, I'd rather be in love with him and please him than to please somebody else. Amen? I want to give the message that Jesus has given us. So return to the mission, return to the message. Turn to 1 Corinthians real quickly. The message is what he's given us. And we need to be faithful to that. Amen? And preach it. Man, I'm not going to back up because, you know, well, I don't know. So-and-so did that and look at them and blah, blah, blah. That has nothing to do with it. All God asked out of you and I is obedience. He's the one that's going to do the stuff. Amen? I'm not going to save anybody. I'm not going to heal anybody. I'm not going to deliver anybody. But I am going to preach the message of salvation, healing, and deliverance to everybody.
Amen.
Amen? And some will believe it. And those that believe it will receive it. And those who don't, that's okay. But here's the thing. I've done my part. I've been faithful to the mission. And I've been faithful to the message. Amen?
Amen.
What are you preaching to people? What are you sharing with people? What are you telling people? Amen? We need to stir ourselves back up, don't we? We need to stir ourselves up. And I'm not talking about you've got to get out and get on a box and preach on the corner. Now, if God leads you to do that, do it. But what I'm saying is, as an opportunity presents itself, as people come by our path, we need to be ready. When God opens the door, we need to be ready. We need to be ready. We need to understand, listen, this is my mission. It's more important than God blessing me. It's more important than God paying my rent. It's more important than anything in my life is fulfilling the mission God's given us. See, when the church gets that way, then we will begin to see a harvest reaped. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Listen, the charismatic movement has brought many wonderful things. Many wonderful things and restored many wonderful truths. But I'm going to tell you one of the things that I think has hurt us is that movement has caused us to turn more inward than outward. Come on. You know, we want to get together and sing, come by here, shum by here, Lord, or however it goes, come by, yeah, whatever. You know, we want to get a goosebump and feel good about ourselves. Well, there's nothing wrong with that, but I'm going to tell you what, people are dying out there. You can feel good about yourself in heaven. We got a job to do, isn't that right? All right. Then we got to recognize the third thing after the mission, message, and the means. What is the means? What is, besides the message, what are the other means? How are we supposed to fulfill this mission? How are we supposed to do this job? Because I feel like, and maybe this is just my perspective from being in ministry, but you know, if you're in ministry and you move in ministry circles, I'm going to tell you what, there's more stuff coming down the pipe than you can possibly, swallow down. I mean, there's new books, new seminars, new conferences. This is a new way. Do it this way. Do it that way. You know, and one will tell you to do it this way. Another will tell you to do it that way. And some doodah experts got it this way. And all this stuff is flying at you. And before you know it, you can miss what is the essential means whereby God has called us to fulfill the mission. And all that stuff may have its place, but I want to tell you what. It's not above the means God has given us. And I want to read you something here. 1 Corinthians, let me get over there myself. Chapter 1, listen to this. Verse 23. He says, we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block. Everybody say a stumbling block. You know, most of the world, if we reduce Christianity to good works, they would just come in by the droves. Sure. That's human nature. Human nature wants to be able to say, I can do it. Or at least, at the minimum, I have a part in my salvation. Come on. Because, see, with the fall of man came pride. And pride has to do with self-sufficiency. It's amazing. You ever wondered why, how people just flock into all these cults and stuff? And I mean, you look at that stuff and you think, good gracious alive. Who would swallow all that kind of crazy stuff? It's because what? It's about them doing something. It's about me pleasing God. It's about me coming to God. It's about me somehow being a part of my salvation before God. Notice he said, preaching the gospel, what? He said, this is a stumbling block. To Jews, foolishness to Gentiles. Hello? So it's either going to be a stumbling block or foolishness to some of the people that you share with. Why are you so shocked? Oh, well, I'm telling you what, Pastor. I tried to share something with somebody and they got mad at me, so I'm just quitting. You milk toasty Christian. Come on. Get some, listen, let God put some backbone in you. Read over there in Hebrews 11, it said, man, some of those prophets, one of those prophets, Isaiah, they stuck him in a hollowed out log and sawed him in two. And you get your little feelings hurt and you're ready to run home. Come on. Oh, me. Oh, Pastor, I wanted to be blessed today. I'm trying to help you. Listen, this stuff is real. I don't know how any other way to say it. It's just real. Christianity's real. The gospel's real. God's real. You're really going to stand before Him one day. You're really going to give an account for your life. You really are. No joking. No kidding. And, you know, what are you going to say? Well, God, you know, I had to pay for my house. What house? Well, it was that. Where's that house? Come on. See, I want to help you. Yeah, I'm going to teach you that God wants to bless you. And I'm going to talk. We talk about those. But I want to tell you what. This is bottom line. Sure is. Man, I thought this was a full gospel church. I ain't heard no amens or oh me's or nothing. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greek, Christ the power of God. Here's the thing. Some will receive it. And you know what it'll be to them? The power of God for their salvation. The power of God for their deliverance. Stop worrying about who will and who won't receive it. Just give it out. You're the dispenser. Then after that, you've done your part. Amen? It's the power of God and the wisdom of God. Listen to this. For the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom. Isn't that right? And the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. So here's the thing. The means whereby God has given us to fulfill this mission of going into all the world is what? The first thing is the message of preaching Christ crucified. We share that. We share that with people. Listen, there's only one way to God. Oh, but Pastor, you don't realize in our culture, I mean, you know, man, nowadays people, you know, they don't want you to say that. They want you to say, you know, the Muslims are right and this one's right and that one's right and everybody's right and you can't say that this one's better than that one. Oh, you can't say that, Pastor. People will get mad at you. Well, let them get mad. You're going to stand before God. I'd rather them be mad at me than God be mad at me. You say, God, here's how much I loved you. The first person that got mad at me and that got offended, I gave up on you. Come on. Oh, man. I got to hurry and finish this. The life, listen, the prayer, the word, the Holy Spirit, worship, evangelism, the message, all these things we talked about. This is the means God's given us. This is the means God's given us. And the primary arena is not Sunday morning. It's out there during the week.
There we go.
Oh, I ain't coming to church because we don't see any miracles. Well, what kind of miracle do you need? You want to see God set off a firecracker here this morning, a spiritual firecracker? Will that make your faith stronger? Will that make you believe the Bible? Huh? All of a sudden a pillar of flame comes up. What's that going to do for you? You still got to believe God for your healing. You still got to overcome those things week to week. You want God to walk around, and every time you start doubting, he's going to set off a spiritual firecracker or something so you can be sure. God's not a liar. Listen, many times the reason God doesn't do a miracle is because you don't need one. Get out there where people need them and you'll start seeing them. I don't need God to work a miracle. I'm healed. I'm saved. I'm full of the Holy Ghost. I'm blessed. I don't need God to do some supernatural, miraculous thing that just makes you all go, wow. I don't need that. I'm walking with God.
Amen.
See, that's another thing that the charismatic move has got us into. Boy, we've just got to be, see, we really don't understand that miracles are to meet a need, not just to impress us and to try to give us faith. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God, not by seeing a miracle. Nothing wrong with miracles. Don't misunderstand me. But you want to see them? Get out there with the gospel. Amen.
Amen.
It is good. Turn over to 1 Corinthians. You're right there. 1 Corinthians 2. Look right here. Verse 4. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words. Oh, Lord, we want a pastor that is eloquent. We want a pastor that has the title doctor. We want somebody that's suave. We want somebody that's articulate. Well, you wouldn't have wanted Paul, because he said, my message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words. What? But with the demonstration of the Spirit's power, that your faith might not rest on man's wisdom, but on God's power. And see, when you take the, you begin to take this message, prayer, the word, the message, all these things, these are the means God's given us. You know what? Then people's faith will rest, what? On God's power, the power of the gospel, the power of the Holy Spirit to save, and not because you were able to persuade them somehow. We get into Christian apologetics. And I'm gonna persuade you against your own will. Baloney. Come on. I remember Jesus. He began to talk, you know. He said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part of me. And everybody got offended. I mean, they did. And he had a backdoor revival. They all, read it over there in John. They all left him. Jesus turned to 11. And what did he say to the 12? What did he say to them? He said, you're going to leave too? Well, Jesus, convince us. I mean, persuade us. No, listen. We give the message. People make the choice to believe or not to believe. That's not my prerogative to make you believe or not believe. My call is to give you the message. You believe it or not believe it, that's between you and God. We give the message out there, they believe it or not believe it, that's between them and God. But we gave them a message. And the message is the power of God, not my persuasiveness, not because I can quote 500 scriptures, not because I've got it all down pat and I can answer every question that anybody could conceivably have. Oh, it's quiet in here. Real quickly, the fourth one, I said mission. Message, her means, remember that? It's the word, it's prayer, it's the power of the Holy Spirit, it's evangelism. Amen?
Amen.
All the things God given us. The fourth thing is we got to, returning to our first love, we got to return to our master. John 13. Obedience and servanthood have become fashionable options rather than standard equipment. Obedience and servanthood in the church have become fashionable options rather than standard equipment. Anybody in here ever bought a new car, new truck, new Hummer, something? You ever notice? You know, on TV a lot of times, you know, when they advertise these cars and they show them, man, I mean, whoo, man, look at all that stuff. Man, they got Bluetooth, they got GPS. I mean, man, they got the coffee maker built in, you know, or whatever. I mean, man, it just, man. But then you go to the showroom and you go to looking at this thing and you go look in this car and you think, wait a minute, where's all that stuff I saw on TV? Oh, well, that's optional. You want that? Okay. Wait a minute. Isn't that right? And see, what we have done is, see, we in the church, we've made servanthood and obedience have become optional. Well, I can do it if I feel like it, but if I don't, Jesus understands. Listen to this statement. The master has been reduced to the status of a best friend who can empathize with our shortcomings without demanding that we change. Well, you know, I understand your pain. Bless your heart. I know it's hard. I know it's tough. That's okay. You don't really have to do that. Come on. Oh, man, if you go to one of those churches where you say, hey, listen, it's not optional. Obedience is not optional. That's standard. That's the minimum. Hello? That's the minimum. Servanthood is not optional. That's the minimum. That's what we should be doing. That's what we should all be doing. We do it when it's convenient, and we do it when it's not. The rest of the time, this is yours. Come on. I'm trying to help you because you really are going to stand before the Lord. And I am too. Amen. There is little talk of the cross anymore in self-denial. It is. Church has become all about me, Jesus. Amen. Well, I'll tell you what, man. If they just ain't got the dynamite worship, if they ain't got this, that, and the other, well, just forget it. I ain't going there. Well, why didn't we just start a bunch of Christian country clubs? Just do it that way and hire a good band. Everybody come, just have a good old time. You know, and maybe as they leave, we'll pass out a track to them. Come on. Where have we come to in the church? I think we need to return to our first love. We need to return to our mission, our message, our means, and our master. And I believe if we do those four things, we can say, listen, you know what? We're living in our first love. I remember when I got saved, I wasn't thinking, boy, I wonder why God's going to bless me now. Oh, I was so thrilled. Oh, my God, I was so thrilled. God could love me. It took all I could just to believe that. And it wasn't because I doubted God. It was just so good. It's such good news, it was almost unbelievable. You know, I'm like, you know, my first thought was, man, what can I do for God? What can I do for God? What can we do? Doesn't matter. I don't care. I'll go somewhere, I'll do something, I'll stay. It don't matter. Just say the word, Lord. I'm ready. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to stay. I'm ready to pray. I'm ready to serve. It don't matter. I'll cut the grass. I'll paint the house. It don't matter. Just bless God. I get to do something for God. But I see so many Christians, they've lost that. Now we're sophisticated. We're grown up. We're educated. We're mature. Jesus said to the church, return to your first love. Return to your first love. And I can't think of a better time to do that than on the 4th of July. Because the Bible says it was for freedom that God set us free. And then he goes on, he said, but don't use this freedom as a means to serve the flesh or satisfy the flesh. But rather, it's freedom what? To serve him. Freedom to serve him. Isn't that true? That's what God. And I'm going to tell you what, that's where you'll find the greatest freedom. You won't find freedom in looking at yourself and being all caught up with yourself and what I need and I'm so needy. Who told you you were needy? Who told you you were needy? You remember after Adam and Eve fell? And it says, God called them and they hid themselves. And, you know, and God says, why'd you hide? He says, because we were naked. And God said, who told you you were naked? Who told you you were naked? Yeah, who do you think's feeding all this needy stuff? Making you think you're so needy. I'm so needy. Needy compared to who? My God shall supply all of your neediness according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Well, is God a failure? Then why are we so caught up with our neediness? Why don't we get caught up with our usefulness? God, you can use me. You can use me. I'm not perfect. Well, join the human race. God uses imperfect people. Read the Bible. Read the Bible. Here's the Apostle Paul, great man of God, wrote almost two-thirds of the Bible. He got mad with Barnabas. Him and Barnabas had a flat-out argument so much that it split the ministry. Come on. But God didn't stop using them. We got to grow up, don't we? And return to our first love. Would you bow your heads just for a moment? I'm going to pray. We're going to let you go here in just a minute.